And now let us hear the reading of the Word of God from the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning at the 36th verse. Now a certain one of the Pharisees had asked him to have dinner with him. And he entered into the house of the Pharisee and was seated at the table. Now there was a woman in that town who was living a sinful life. She had heard that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she bought a vial of perfume and stood behind Jesus at his feet. She was crying profusely, and so she was really wetting his feet with her tears. But she dried his feet with her hair and kept kissing them, and then poured out the perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him. He would know what kind of sinful life she is leading." And so Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon," and if it were not for Jesus' words of address, we would not have known the name of this Pharisee, for Luke himself does not give us the name except that he was a Pharisee. Jesus says, "Simon, I've got a word to say to you." "Yes, teacher?" "Say it then." "There were two men who owed money to a moneylender. One owed him $500, shall we say. The other owed him $50. But neither one of them was able to pay him back one penny. So he canceled the debt of both of them. Now, which of them do you suppose would love him the more?" "I suppose," answered Simon, "it would be the one who was forgiven the more." And Jesus said, "Your answer is surely correct." And then Jesus, and please notice this, Jesus turned toward the woman, but said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came to your house and you provided no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, from the very moment she entered, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with olive oil, but this woman has anointed it with ointment, has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say to you, still addressing his words to the Pharisees, her sins, which are many, are utterly forgiven, for she loved much. For to whomsoever loves little, little is forgiven. And he said to her, your sins are all forgiven. And then those others of the guests who were reclining at the table with them began to say among themselves, who in the world is this who even forgives sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Be on your way now in peace. This is one of those exquisitely told stories told as only Luke can write. There are a number of interesting stories in the New Testament told only by Luke. That is, that he is the only writer that includes the story. And Luke is the only one that gives this particular story. And I'm sorry to say that a lot of Bible students and all waste a lot of time trying to identify the woman. Some say Mary Magdalene. Some say it was Mary, this sister of Martha of Bethany. And imagine that. They spent a lot of time trying to identify who in the world this sinful woman was. And that, of course, means that they missed the point of the whole story. And let's see now, by reviewing it very briefly, and then giving the point of it, that we can't ourselves learn a lesson. Here's this Pharisee, proud of his heritage, perhaps a man of some wealth, obviously. He doesn't love Jesus, that's quite certain. But he's heard a lot about him. He'd like to find out some more, and perhaps would like to find out a few things that he could later use against him, if possible. But in any event, he invites him to his home. And you remember when guests were invited in those days, they were not seated at tables with chairs as we know today, but were really, they were in the habit of reclining either on their right or left elbow stretched out with their feet out toward, away from the table, the couch, the table part. So that it was very easy for one to reach the feet of a person. And this woman now, to whom no doubt Jesus had ministered before, and she was so anxious to try to repay him for some of his grace to her, when she heard that he was in the home of Simon the Pharisee, she made her way there and saw him at reclining. And that's why they use the word recline, really lying down. And she ministered to him in love. She showed that she was a woman sorry for her life and wanting to make amends. And this kind of attention from this woman of the street upset the host very much indeed. Apparently he did not say anything to the woman, Simon, but he was highly indignant and thought quite a few things to himself, not so much about the woman as about Jesus. If this fellow were the prophet that he claims to be, he wouldn't put up with this woman. He'd send her out of here in a hurry. So I must have overestimated the kind of man that I have here as my guest today. Now this is the kind of thinking that Simon was doing. And Jesus, who uses his divine powers of knowing a man's thought, really gives the clue to the meaning of this whole episode. Simon, I've got a word to say to you. And he gives that parable of the two debtors. Here's a man who owes a large sum of money. One owes a small sum compared with the large sum. And Jesus says, to illustrate his point, neither one of them could pay. They were both bankrupt. Please notice that now. Both of them were bankrupt. It's obvious that Jesus is meaning that the Pharisee equals to one of these people, and this sinful woman the other. And it's obvious, too, that he is saying that as far as their being able to make amends before God for their sinfulness by paying, that they're both helpless and bankrupt. So that much is that clear. Here's a man who had two men who owed him. One $500, another $50. He frankly forgave them both since they were bankrupt. Now, which one is going to love him the most? And of course the answer is rather obvious, but it's a tricky answer, it seems to me. Notice Simon answers. I suppose the one to whom, who owed the most. I suppose the one who owed the most must have done more loving. And Jesus says, you're right. But that really doesn't tell us very much. I'll let you do some thinking about it. You see what Jesus is really saying, and the point of this whole parable is, as we have it in the rest of the story, is that he who has really a deep feeling of his sinfulness and of his need of sin, that's the man who, when he's forgiven, can really respond and love. It's the man who is not aware of his sinfulness and is not conscious of carrying a load, a debt of sin. He's not conscious of a debt to God, who, when he's forgiven, he doesn't realize it at all, and there's no motive to respond in love. Simon certainly was not aware of owing God anything. He was not aware of being sinful in any way at all. But this woman knew that by her life she was sinful, that she needed the forgiving grace of God. And Jesus is saying she loved much because her sins were many. She was bowing under a load of the guilt of sin. And when that awful load of sin is lifted in forgiveness, she responds by loving much. Simon, who was not aware of any load at all, had no motive to love or to serve. your sins, which are many, are forgiven. And my friends, I don't believe we can be far wrong when we remark that the word forgiveness, which Jesus used, certainly must have reached that poor woman's heart about as it reached the hearts of others in Jesus' day. The meaning of the word forgiveness, as I've said to you so many times, is so rich and full and free. It's a double-barreled word, aphiemi in Greek, that means when Jesus forgives sin, it means that he blots it out, he brushes it aside, shoves it away. He doesn't give it a gentle push to the side, maybe, but he gives it kicks it out of the way. And he moves it so far, as the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west. But that isn't all. And then the word goes on to imply that he remembers it against us no more forever. And this woman now could leave that house that day, having entered a sin-laden, decrepit woman, loaded with sin, her heart bleeding and broken, could leave it free as a bird, because she was forgiven. No wonder she could love. And love much. And this is the lesson for us, my friends. I pity the person who is not aware of his need of forgiveness, who is not aware of his real need of a gracious act on God's part to say, "Yes, my child, you've erred grievously. But if you'll just let me, I'll forgive." But remember, for forgiveness to mean anything to us individually, we've got to be aware of what it costs God. It's not a thing that he can just pull out of the bag with no cost at all. It's a very costly thing to him. And hence, when we respond to it, it ought to cost us everything we've got. You remember the time I told you that I got so upset at Massanetta when I lectured for an hour on the cost of forgiveness in Romans 3. And then some of those guitar players got, I don't mind a guitar, but it happened that they were using guitars. These three people got up and said, sang that song that was popular, "And though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. He will do no such blooming thing." And I just had to get up and refute that. And I told that crowd, these three men have undone in one verse of a song what it took me an hour to say, that it cost God dearly to forgive our sins, because God is a righteous God. And for these three people to say, "I forgive," without any implication of any response or obligation on our part at all. But you see, the very fact that this story involves love, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loves much. Jesus is simply saying that the fact that she lavished so much love on me the way she did it was ipso facto proof of the fact that she was really burdened with the guilt of sin. And we too need to recognize that if we would be free and happy and joyous in His service, that forgiveness is important. And the only way we're going to get forgiveness is to be sure that we're willing to confess that we need it. And that's not an easy thing to do. Oh, no. I don't think it was easy for that woman. Everybody knew what kind of woman she was. It wasn't easy for that woman to come there and be under the scrutinizing look of those no-count men. No, indeed it wasn't. And so it's not easy to confess our need of forgiveness. But this is what it takes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just covet for you the kind of peace and joy that comes in the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins. Let us stand for the benediction, and then we'll retire to the back room. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, and that Thou art willing, sinful as we are, to forgive us for Jesus' sake. We thank Thee that what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross enables Thee to forgive us freely. And now help us to go from this place as Thy children, ready to do Thy work joyfully, faithfully. And now as we go to fellowship around the table, make us aware of Thy goodness to us in the realm of physical needs, and bless these provisions from Thy bounty and our fellowship together for Jesus' sake. Amen.